and say, do we not have children this morning, or did they sneak out without me looking? Oh, there he goes. There we go. Alan, I want to say thank you for, you know, I was sitting there watching the words could pop up there today. I thought, you know what, he's so diligent. Every week he's here putting those words up so we know what to sing. And thank you for being here all the time and taking care of that for us, Alan. It's just a blessing that we kind of overlook sometimes. Just wanted to recognize you for that. And thank you, Jamie, for a good introduction again. God always knows what he's doing, doesn't he, when he's preparing us for what he wants for the body of Christ. And God is love. It really is. That's not what I titled our sermon message title today, is the Lord will provide for you. There's a lot of different ways that you can say that, but he does. He provides not just what we need for our daily lives, but he provides everything that we need to be everything that he desires. So we're not only talking about your material blessings, but your spiritual blessings that God gives us. He gives us everything we need for everything that he wants for us, to prepare us for eternity. We've been learning in Sunday school that we're growing into maturity to be like him, to be able to do what he has prepared for us in eternity. So we're not just growing to get old to die. We're growing for eternal life. And so we're going to look at some of those things today that God provides for us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you this morning for your provision. That you are a God of love who cares about his children so much that you provide everything that we need. And I thank you for that. Lord, we are so blessed, and we thank you for our blessings. Lord, we're missing quite a few today, and so we lift them up to you for the different reasons that they're not able to be here today. Lord, if there's any sick in the body of Christ here, we ask for their healing, for your touch on their lives. And whatever they're doing, whatever they're going through, Father, we ask that you be with them. Father, I ask today that you'll speak through me, that I won't get in your way, but that I'll allow you to move and do what you want to do in the body of Christ today. Thank you for each one that has come out, has made the effort to come to hear what you're saying to the church today. And I just ask for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I go on, our oldest brother here gave me a thing from the pointers from missionaries, and there's a couple of work days coming up that I'd just like you to know about. The first one is in September, and this is Carl and Teresa. You remember them, who they've come here quite often to share with us, but they're going to be serving with a team in a ministry camp, and then October the 29th to the 5th in Louisiana. They're going to take a trip to Louisiana to serve alongside a Fuller Center Disaster Rebuilders team to continue restoring houses in the hurricane region of Lake Charles Sulphur, Louisiana. So there's an opportunity to get in on a team that's rebuilding. So if any of you have that, would be able to want to join them in that, we need to make arrangements with them to make that happen. So just keep that in mind. Pray about it. 1 Corinthians 6:10. Let's just turn there. It's the verses that say, No eye has seen, no ear has heard what the Lord has prepared for those who love him. There's a little more to it than that, so let's go there before we go on. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 6 through 10. Says, but we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived, and some of them says, nor has it ever entered into the mind of man, what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches out all things, even the deep things of God. So, by the Spirit, God has revealed to us the things that we need for life. We're going to be looking at some of those. We're going to be looking at some of the provision that He makes for us daily. How many of you pay attention to the little things that happen during your day, but you just have to say thank you, Lord, because you know it couldn't have happened on your own. Maybe it's someone that stopped by for a visit that you needed an encouragement, and they just stopped by to encourage. Maybe it's something. For me, it's often something I lose. So a lot of our work is putting up little tedious things, and I'm not the best with screws anymore, just little ones, the wee tiny ones, and I'll fumble around and drop it, and I'll get down, where is it? I can't find it. So I'll just say, Lord, I really need this screw. It's part of this fan I'm putting up, and I need it, and show me where it is. I end up finding it. Sometimes I don't find it. We have to substitute some things. Usually we are able to substitute something that will do the job as well. But it's this little things like that, you have to say, thank you, Lord, for showing me this. And I don't understand why I dropped it in the first place, except that I'm clumsy and my fingers don't work as well as they used to. I don't have as many as I used to that work, so it's one of those things. But in the Word of God, it tells many different places about his plan for us. Let's begin today in Psalms 121. I'm in 119. I better turn a few pages. Psalms 121 says it's a song of ascents, and I did not look up that word, what it means, but it's a very encouraging psalm. He begins there in verse 1. He says, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth." And if you think about who God is and what all He made, you would realize just how small some of our big problems are to Him. He made the heaven and the earth. Everything that we see, everything that exists, He made. So He can handle what we bring to Him, can't He? "He will not let your foot slip," although mine did slip one time or twice. It says, "He will not let your foot slip. He watches over you will not go to sleep. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will never slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. So, he's watching over everything that we do. He cares about each one of us that much. He loves each one of us that much. He watches over everything that we do. And there's, I found a few examples, and I'm going to use the example of Elijah today. 1 Kings chapter 17. So Elijah is a prophet of God. And he is kind of in some tough situations as well. Even as a prophet who heard God's voice daily, he told the people what God said. We're going to actually begin in verse 1 of chapter 17 in 1 Kings. And this is the example where Elijah is fed in a time of famine. This is after he told the people there that there was going to be a famine. And this is right after that. And it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word.'" So think about that for a minute. If we don't have dew or rain for a month, how dry does it get? Often we've seen our lawns dry up to brown. Corn fields and the bean fields dry up where they're shriveled and curling. Just in a few weeks. It doesn't take long. But Elijah told Ahab, he said, "We're not going to see dew or rain for 3 years." So that's a long time for a drought. And that's what's called a famine. It's just, there's no rain. There's no moisture. So then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and he said, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan." Why do you suppose he told Ahab to hide? Probably going to be some people angry at him, wasn't he? For what he told them. He said, "You'll drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So, imagine, you're going through life. God tells you that you need to tell the rulers of your country that you're in that it's not going to rain for 3 years' time. And then he tells you to go and hide. So Elijah goes. He does what the Lord tells him. He goes to the brook, hides there in the valley, in the ravine. And ravens. Big, you know, ever seen ravens? Big black birds. So ravens are scavengers. So they were probably, why would they want to bring him the stuff that they're collecting? And this wasn't just dead stuff that they're bringing. It's good meat and bread. They brought it to him every night and morning. So, how many of you can think of a time in your life when you were desperate and God provided for you? I've actually had quite a few of them. I thank the Lord. but according to His word, He will provide what we need, because He has everything that we need. He made it all, so He has it to provide. The next part of this same chapter is another widow lady that He provided for. This is also a very, very interesting account, the widows at Zarephath. It says, sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came to him again. He said, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I've commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I can have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. The thing that's very interesting about all this is that in both instances, first of all, the Lord told Elijah to go, and he went. Obedience is required in both situations here. And secondly, when he asked the widow for a drink, she began to go to get it. While on the way, he said, and by the way, bring me a little bread as well. As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. Surely, as the Lord your God lives, she said, I don't have any bread. So she was going to get him a drink. She knew she had some water. She was going to get him a drink, and he asked for bread. I only have a handful of flour in a jar, a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home to make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. So she was prepared for her last meal. That was the last she had. I've never been that desperate. I can't imagine being there, knowing that what I have in the oil jar and in the flour bin is it. That's it. It's going to be our last meal. And now this guy's here, and he wants me to make it for him instead of us. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. And I like it when I see those words in the Word of God, because he tells us that often, doesn't he? I don't know how many times it's written in the Word. How many? 365 times the Word of God says, don't be afraid. I like it that you know that stuff. One for every day of the year. I can always count on Matt for statistics. He knows that stuff. Pretty interesting that he studies and knows all that stuff. He says, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up. The jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the earth and on the land. What a promise. What a promise. So why would we think that God couldn't provide for us what we need? I could show you feeding of the 5,000. Think about Daniel in the lion's den. There's just a lot of different places that we could go in the Word of God to see His provision, to see that He does take care of His people and His children. were his children, his friends. We're a verse in the Word that says, I call you friends, not servants, but friends. And he takes care of us, and thank God for that. So she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up, the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful today that God provides everything we need so that we'll be able to do everything that He desires of us. I've got a Thompson's Bible here, and in the back of mine there's an area that shows, that talks about His abundance and the things that He provides for us, His preparation for us. And I'm actually looking at the wrong place. I'm going to show you this morning different verses that talk of abundance that He gives us. And the first one is found in Psalms 36, verse 8, and it's talking about abundant joy. Joy is one of the things that we need to live and to serve the Lord, to walk in joy all of our time. And verse 36, or chapter 36 of Psalms says in verse 8, they feast on the abundance of your house. You will give them drink from your river of delights. So we're going to drink from His river of delights. He gives us little joys every day. And if we'll look for them, we'll see lots of them. Little joys that come to your life each day. The second abundance that I found was abundant life. And that's found in John 10:10. It says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly, or to the full. So not only do we have life, but we have abundant life. We have life to the full that He provides for us each day. How about His abundant grace? The grace that we need so much. 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So that's where I got that little phrase, who has everything you need for everything He desires. Every good work that we go to do, He gives us what we need to do it. In Ephesians 3:20, He talks about abundant power. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work in us. It's funny that we're not able to imagine even the power that God gives us. But our natural man is not able to think that far, I guess. We don't even know what heaven will be like. There's some description of heaven in the Word of God. It talks about how wonderful it's going to be, what awesome things are there. But our mind doesn't comprehend it. We have no idea of the brightness that will be there because of God's brilliance. I've told you this before about how Moses, when he came down from the mountain, from being with the Lord, his face was so radiant that they couldn't look at him. Imagine that. Someone just shining so brightly, you have to look away. Because of being in the presence of God, We're going to be there. We're going to be in His presence. But we can't imagine yet what it will be like. In Philippians 4:19, he talks about our abundant supplies. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So He will meet all of your needs. And to finish up today, I'd like to go to chapter 17 of John. I love John 17, and I've told you this many times. Because in John 17, it's Jesus praying for His disciples and us. And there's a place here where He talks of His protection for us and how He cares for us. So if you would go to John 17, and let's begin in verse 9 today. And this is actually in His prayer for the disciples. We are also His disciples. So I feel like this is a prayer for us as well. He says, I pray for them. And this is Jesus talking to the Father. He says, I'm not praying for the world, but for those You have given Me, for they are Yours. All I have is Yours, and all You have is Mine. And glory has come to Me through them, and I will remain in the world no longer. But they are still in the world, and I am coming to You. So He left the disciples in the world. He's going on to be with the Father. He says, Holy Father, protect them by the power of Your name, the name You gave Me, so that they will be one as We are one. He says, while I was with them, I protected them, kept them safe by that name that You gave Me. None has been lost except the one You doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. So we have God's protection through the name of Jesus. Do you realize today how much power that we have in the name of Jesus? There's so much in that name that we don't understand. So much in that name that we don't understand. And so that's why in His sample prayer, even He told us to pray in the name of Jesus. And we've seen that all through the New Testament. And so that's why you hear me pray in Jesus' name always. When I ask for things, when I am praising Him, Jesus' name is so important for our provision. Just as I talked about a few weeks ago about praise, so important to win the battle. Praise team went ahead of the armies in the Old Testament, and they defeated the enemy. In our lives, praise will often defeat the enemy. So we have so many promises. These are just a few that I've touched this morning. But remember that God loves you that much that He will provide everything that you need for everything that He desires in your life. Hallelujah. So as the praise team comes this morning, if any of you have a need for prayer, you'd like us to pray with you about, why come and we'll pray with you. If there's anybody here who has never accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior and you'd like to do that this morning, well, we'd love to help you with that. Glory to God, that's what the kingdom's about. Bringing souls, people to Jesus Christ.